A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In truth, I tell you, of all the children born to women, there's never been anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Since John the Baptist came, up to this present time, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence and to the violent, and they are taking it by storm. Because it was toward John that all the prophecies and the prophets and of the law were leading. And he, if you will believe me, is the Elijah who was to return. Anyone who has ears to listen should listen. The Gospel of the Lord. I think waiting is one of the most difficult things, at least for me, to do. I finished just recently going to the California Department of Motor Vehicles, and it was my third trip to register an automobile. And each time something was wrong or something was missing, each time the person involved on the DMV side had other priorities than me, and I found myself being impatient and they were impatient. And I said to myself today, or the other day when I went to the DMV, if I don't get this settled this time, I think I'm just going to forget it and see what happens. This season of Advent has always been a difficult one for me because it is so focused on waiting. It's so focused on trying to put ourselves in two places at once, getting ready personally for the coming of the Lord, but at the same time looking at it globally and looking at it in a kind of a monumental way when we think about the effect on the Lord's coming has had on society and how we celebrate that, how we remember that. I guess the thing that I find really interesting about the dynamic between John and Jesus and between John and the people is the role that John had of proclaiming something that was going to be in many ways a disappointment to the hearers. If you've got good news, then you can probably get away with anything when you're about to proclaim it. If you have bad news, you at least know what you're getting into, and you can help people accommodate their lives to the bad news you have to bring. But when you have news that is couched in mystery and could be seen by some as bad and by others as good, when you confront someone whose whole life is summarized as the bringer of the news, then I think it becomes particularly difficult. What I find is looking at Jesus, who is the one we have all been waiting for. His job is to bring good news and healing to the world and to change it so that the world becomes a better place. John's task is to make himself credible in his own community, become well-known and hopefully well-respected, and then from that posture of his notoriety and the appreciation people have for him, to tell people that the news he has to bring is going to be confusing. And as a result, this great man, whom the people have come to respect, becomes the smallest man in this new kingdom. And so people are given a kind of a start as they realize that their hero, the one who has been giving them all this hopeful information and this good advice, has now been denigrated to some extent and downgraded. And their love for him, their respect for him, their understanding, or even their fear of him is now all of a sudden modified. And John is telling them, this is a good thing. What's happening to me is a good thing. What will happen to all of us is a good thing. It's just very complicated. And it's not going to be easy for people to swallow. no little bit of sugar to let the medicine go down in this situation. The whole thing is going to be difficult and maybe even painful. What I like to do sometimes when I think about John the Baptist is say to myself, I wonder what I would do if I was the one who had to proclaim this news to the people, where I myself am still a bit confused. I mean, at one point, John sends his friends to see Jesus, and he says, find out who this guy is. Is he the one? So, I mean, it's not a cut-and-dry thing. So he brings himself to the point where he can share with them that this is the one we're waiting for. This is the one who's going to give freedom and hope to all of us. And then he says, kind of slipping it in on the side, the kind of good that he's going to bring, the kind of power that he represents, is not going to be the kind of power that gives you political ascendancy. You're not going to be seeing him come into town as the great king. You're going to see him as a humble person, a man of sacrifice, a man, in a sense, of simplicity. You're going to see him as a street preacher, and yet he's the one that embodies all this good news that we've been talking about, working to understand and trying our best to live. And I would think that that would be a terribly difficult situation. What John has to do is hear the good news carefully. He has to do his best to understand it, and then he has to try as best he can to own it, and then finally he has to preach it. And I would suggest that giving the news about Jesus, that here's the Messiah and he's not what you expect, is going to be difficult. And so you can see where this great man in one society, that is the old law, is now all of a sudden a simple man in the new law, because all of us are simple in that new law. And we're simple in that new law because the author of the law, God through Jesus, Jesus represents simplicity itself. So, okay, John then gives us this news, helps us as best he can to understand it, and then he tries to help us learn to live it. Put ourselves in John's shoes. One of the things that we have to do as preachers of the good news, commissioned in our baptism, is to carefully hear what God says to us through Jesus, to do our best to understand it as well as we can, to own it as much as we can, and then to be as faithful as we can to preach, and to do that whether convenient or inconvenient. This reading from Matthew reflects the confusion and the frustration on the part, especially of the Jewish community, but it's frustration and confusion that remains even to today. We can casually say all these things about the good news and about Jesus and about what he taught, but it's one of the most frustrating things that any of us could ever have to confront. I just finished only a short time ago talking to the wife of a man, a very acclaimed scientist, who has been given a major job that literally will revolutionize the technical society in which we live. And at the age of 41, totally unexpected, he dropped dead from a heart attack. Here's the mom and their children trying to figure that out. They're Catholics, French Catholics, so they've kind of drifted a little bit. And at the same time, that's right at the heart of their faith, is their Catholicity. And so she's saying, what can I say to the scientific community that will help them understand how important the church was to both of us, even though we slipped a bit as we grew older? How can we help them understand that the message we've given our lives over to as Catholic Christians is that, you know, peace and goodwill are the important gifts and the hallmarks by which we'll be understood and through which we'll do our teaching? How can we help them understand how this man who was the the great street preacher of the old community can come and welcome the new street preacher from the new community and tell people that though you may respect me and you may have made room for my message in your lives, what you have to realize is now we have to make room for the real message, for the real Messiah, for the one who is, in fact, the one for whom we've been waiting all these years. Waiting is tough, and John the Baptist realizes how difficult it is, and now he takes the step out to proclaim the good news in the community, to introduce Jesus, in a sense, to the world, waiting for something where expectations are not met in the first encounter with him. Let's hope and pray that we have, through our own example, our own study, our own prayer, our own generosity, we have enough faith and clarity of faith to be able to help people realize, all people realize, the great and the small, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that that is in fact what we've been waiting for, someone who is of him, his very self, the instrument of healing grace. What you have to be, what I have to be as today's preaching Christians, is a reflection of John's overcoming the impatience that often accompanies waiting, and imitate his step out into the unknown as he tells us about this Jesus. Here is the one for whom we've been waiting. Glory be to God.